Sutherland Mann was in despair about climate change. She was working as an environmental advocate in Madison, and at the time, she was at the end of her rope.
So she and her husband decided to take a break and spent some time on a small sailboat in the Atlantic Ocean. Along the way, they met danger and overcame challenges. Ultimately, they walked away with a new understanding about the natural world and the resiliency required to live in it.
Heather Lynn Mann writes about her time at sea in the new book, Ocean of Insight, A Sailor's Voyage from Despair to Hope. And she joins us now. Heather, welcome to Central Time.
Well, good afternoon.
Why did you decide to give up your job at the time this was in Madison, Wisconsin, and spend a few years sailing the Atlantic Ocean?
Well, that's a good question. Actually, my husband and I, when we were first dating 30 years ago, we used to walk hand in hand through no trespassing signs at the marinas near where we lived. And neither one of us sailed, but we were drawn to the boats and the rigging. And I think we fell in love with the idea of sailing away someday, at the same time that we fell in love with each other. So many years later, when he came home and said, "I think we've saved enough money for a sabbatical, 5 years, do you want to go?" I said yes. And at that point, I was deep into a career as an environmental advocate based out of Madison, Wisconsin, and working throughout the state, even doing some consulting work at the federal level on climate policy. And I thought long and hard about whether I needed to go because, you know, as a activist, you don't just let yourself off the hook to go sail over the horizon. So I decided I'd take with me a question. And that was, how am I to be in a suffering world? And I would take that question straight to nature. And I suspected that I'd hear a different answer than if I had stayed in embedded in society.
Did you already know how to sail when you took on this boat?
We had had many years of sailing in Lakes Mendota and Monona, and we had chartered boats in the Caribbean and in the Great Lakes. But it turns out what we didn't really know what we didn't know, and we got into all kinds of trouble when we set sail.
You know, and it sounds like you also felt uncertain about your lives, your settled lives in Madison. You'd done all the things that you felt like a person was kind of supposed to do in their life, but it didn't feel right. Were you able at the time to put your finger on why that was?
Well, yes, and the biggest thing that was troubling me was I had the Center for Resilient Cities, and we were doing work in urban neighborhoods in Milwaukee and Madison and elsewhere, and we would buy contaminated land and clean it up and then partner with local residents to really turn these landscapes into places of vitality and beauty. And I knew that that was really rewarding and important work, but there was this thing called climate change that the world just didn't seem to be addressing head on. And the projections kept getting more and more frightening. And I did something, but I had no idea what.
And it ended up being this question that you took to nature about how to live in a world with climate change. And it sounds like during these first weeks and months on the boat, a lot of stuff went wrong. And it took you a while to figure, I'm probably understating it, things broke all the time, there were moments, but you weren't really afraid until this one particular moment that you write about, the first time you were really afraid that you could end up dying and your boat could crash. Can you tell us about, briefly, what happened that time in I think it was Tulu Cay?
Yeah, Tulu Cay was in the Bahamas, and it was New Year's Eve, and we had actually been sailing for a few years. On this particular night, a storm was building up. I had misjudged the direction of the wind, and as it was blowing, it was pushing us toward the shore rather than away from the shore. So we were backing up slowly because our anchors were refusing to grab the bottom, backing up slowly to very sharp rocks that were about hull height. And I realized that I was about to have the rocks puncture my hull, and I'd probably hurt myself, my husband would get injured while we were trying to do this rescue. And there was no one able to come to give us a tow out from this situation, and we couldn't sail ourselves out from this hole we had dug ourselves in. So this was really indeed the first time when I was deeply frightened. And I noticed that when I was frightened, I was really bad crew. I found my thoughts were coming really slowly, and I was having a hard time even knowing what to do. And at this one moment, you know, close to midnight, I was supposed to be shining a light spotlight behind me every 15 minutes to see if we absolutely had to do something, that we had lost significant ground. And I knew my husband would be up shortly, and so I stopped looking. And when he came up and I told him that I had done that, I instantly knew that I had let myself down, that I had made a decision to be there. This was my boat. It was my responsibility. And what I realized was that I needed to get a grip of my fear. And actually, this is a really good story because it also illuminates what happens to me as an environmental activist, is that when I am deeply afraid, I am lousy crew and I don't think straight and I can't be nearly as effective as when I'm calm and stable and purposeful in my actions. And so there's this ancient, you know, I'm a Buddhist practitioner and I was looking at these events that were happening at sea through the lens of Eastern philosophy, and I realized that there was this practice called Tonglen, where I could breathe in sensation of my fear and I could breathe out compassion for myself. And as soon as I did that, I transformed the situation from an energy that was harmful and that I couldn't, you know, difficult to deal with, into an energy that was safe and that I could move through. So with compassion, then I was able to start thinking and mobilizing, and indeed we live to tell about it on another day.
Heather Lynn Mann is with us right now. She's the founder of the not-for-profit Center for Resilient Cities and the author of Ocean of Insight, A Sailor's Voyage from Despair to Hope. And Heather, we were just talking about fear. You experienced it sailing. You got in a frightening spot. You got out of it, but you had to figure out a way to deal with fear. And in your book, you're also coming face to face with living with fear in the face of climate change, which is something that's not unique to you. There are many people who have fears about the future, fears about what's going to happen. What did you come away with about how to look that in the face? And as you would say, be good crew. Keep your head on straight.
Well, that's part of it. And, you know, I think that what has been happening in the news in the last 24 hours is really relevant to this question. And the fact that the book, Ocean of Insight, came out actually on Election Day. You know, many people have seen this as a real challenge, this administration, and now with backing out of the climate agreement that was set in Paris, there's people that are feeling a lot of strong emotions about that. And what I would say is that, you know, what came very clear to me is that this climate challenge is not just a political or a scientific or a technological or even an economic crisis. It's a spiritual crisis. And a lot of the roots that have been growing, that have brought us to this point, have been based in greed, you know, the greed not only of individuals, but of our corporations and financial institutions and our politicians. It's so embedded in society, and fear about all kinds of economic security and a delusion even that we're perceiving ourselves as completely separate from the natural world, that we as humans can survive and thrive. It doesn't really matter what's happening to the environment. And these spiritual roots of greed and fear and delusion, there are ways of looking at them, conquering them in ourselves, and also supporting others in our community to conquer them. So it's not okay that we are writing off other nations. It's not okay that we're writing off other landscapes or species. We really are interdependent. And part of a spiritual awakening is to see that interdependence and start taking responsibility and offering care to the natural world, and not as a factor of being guilted into it, but as a way of really seeing our interdependence and that our success depends on the success of others as well.
Now, as we wrap up, just a little bit of time left, but not everyone can do a six-year voyage on a boat. Are there other ways that people can, as you say, come face-to-face with nature and maybe come away with that same sense you have of being interconnected?
Absolutely. And this would be a terrible book if it was just the prescription for everybody to go sailing. Really, what it comes down to is that nature is everywhere and that even our own bodies and minds are a part of nature. and that it is not other and outside of ourselves, but that if we take moments of quiet reflection, either through meditation or prayer, you know, whatever it is that is your spiritual background, you can come to a place of feeling connected with Earth or with creation. And that awakening then is a shift that goes from seeing the Earth as a commodity and resources a commodity into something that we are very grateful for. And that as soon as we water the seeds of gratitude, suddenly we are in a world of abundance and we are not alone and we can react and interact with the world around us in a way that is much more harmonious and satisfying and rewarding.
Heather, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate being able to share Ocean of Insight.
Heather Lynn Mann is the author of the new book, Ocean of Insight, A Sailor's Voyage from Despair to Hope. In the book, she tells a story of how her six-year journey on the Atlantic Ocean shaped the way she thinks about the natural world and about climate change.